Morning. Appreciate your confidence to allow me to break the bread of life. End of that song says, Amen. Someday, everyone in this tabernacle will say amen. Someday all of creation and all of time will say amen. What a glorious day that will be. For us all to be in the presence of God Jehovah. Eternal, without end. No more trouble, no more trial, no more labors, but just the blessing of being in that holy place, pure, holy like God. Not a rudiment of this world left upon us, that all perishes in the grave, and only our spirit moves on. Now, I love you all, but I'm glad that's true. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if we took these old bodies with us. Been very impressed lately of the reality of what God has in mind, His plan from the beginning. We talked about it in Sunday school. Till the end of time, till the last leaf shall fall. God has a plan, and it's all going well. It's all going perfect this morning. God's plan, regardless of what you think or I think, could be perfected. It is perfect just like it is. God made it. And God made us. And it's His heart's desire that we reach His perfection. He said, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I've thought about how that there isn't anyone in here who looks alike. Do you thank the Lord for that? Everyone looks different. Even James' brothers, who are twins, still have their identity in the way that they look. Also, in the way that we think, we all have our individuality. The word tells us that every man is right in his own eyes. If you observe, men will try to convince other men to their way. I'm right. Sometimes the discussions can get very heated and very emotional. But God made us all with an individual mind. And that's perfect. I'm glad that my wife don't think like I do all the time. I've tried to school her in 45 years. She still has a mind of her own. And you have a mind of your own. And that's God's design. And it's perfect. The beauty of it is that God has made a plan from day one. That every mind and every thought process could be brought into subjection to the mind, set, and thought of Almighty God. And that's our duty as we follow Him and as we live our span of time upon earth. Remember our purpose, and that is to think like God. To have the mind of Christ, Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So as you're tempted to think your own thoughts and go your own way, remember Jesus said, I am the way, I am truth, I am light, I am life, follow me. And then he didn't leave it just there, but he gave all of his earthly mind, all of his carnal thoughts. He brought them into conform to the mind of his Father. And it was not an easy thing. It was a battle of life and death. In the Garden of Eden, great drops of blood ran down his sweat as he battled with his thought process and with his mind. Bring it into subjection to the mind of God, that he might save us from our minds, that he might save us from our thoughts. You couldn't save yourself. I couldn't save myself. It was brought out in Sunday school this morning. It's the grace of God. It is the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that enables me to think like him, to understand like him, and to follow after him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Can never fail or fall. All of the word of God is forever settled, and it shall always be, regardless of what men might think or might come up with in their own thought process and their own minds. The word of God will stand forever. It shall not be moved. It is that rock that we depend upon. And so this morning I want to encourage you, challenge you, ask you, plead with you. Put on the mind of Christ. Help us, Lord, to keep the mind of Jesus. Begin our lesson about Daniel. In the second chapter of Daniel, we have the account of when Daniel was summoned before the king to interpret the dream that he had, and Daniel was able to interpret it because he didn't rely upon Daniel's thoughts, but because the Spirit of the Lord visited him. The Spirit of God talked to Daniel. The Spirit of our Heavenly Father, the Creator, spoke to Daniel and revealed to him the secrets. The 47th verse, it says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. God of gods, and this God who was able to reveal the secret, was imparted through Daniel's mind by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of God. We know that in a short time later, that Daniel had them bring three of his friends along, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know that their mindset and their thoughts contradicted the crowd, contradicted others. So others set a trap to catch them. And they were successful in catching them in the human process of what they thought was right and what Daniel and the three Hebrew children thought was right. So in all of those things, God had a part. And he allowed the three Hebrew children to be tested and tried to the point of being destroyed in a natural fire. The king was going to throw them into the fire because of the way that the king was thinking and the way that they were thinking. But their thought process included God. And the God that they trusted, and the God that they knew, and the Spirit that had visited them many, many times, convinced them that regardless of what the law was, they would go against that law and remain true to their God. And we know that they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but it was in the midst of that furnace that the real voice of God revealed. In the 24th verse of the next chapter of Daniel, the third chapter, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like Jesus, the Son of God." A revelation of Jesus Christ in the flesh for those who had trusted him and been willing to go into the fiery furnace rather than to disobey. And God was faithful to send his Son and to loose their bonds. I suppose they burnt off. And you know the story how the fire was so hot that those that even approached it were destroyed. So there was no doubt. It was absolute. It was sure. This wasn't something that left anything to the imagination. It didn't leave anything to the unbeliever to think on his own or have his own thoughts, because it was revealed by God Almighty exactly what had transpired, and exactly delivered his children in such a miraculous way that it could not be denied. Now, where we're taking this thought, of course, is to you and me. And as time, God's time, many times I think about all of the people that lived during this process of time, from Adam until us. And I think of all the thoughts that men must have thought, all of the conclusions the men just come to in their own mind, weigh the process, have a sound mind, put it all together. This is what I think. It doesn't take long to talk to someone and they'll reveal what they're thinking and what their thought process is. Now, when God designed the world, when he created man in his own image, he had a mind. He had a thought. And he had a plan. Many, many people don't understand. They think the world has just went rampant and it's gone and done this and that. No, God had a plan. And that plan is a perfect plan. And it has been just as he would have it to be. God is not pleased. God does not enjoy those that suffer damnation. He said he didn't take any joy in the death of a sinner. But he made a perfect plan whereby no one would have to do that. By his Son, by the mind that was crucified on Mount Calvary, in the garden, in the life of Jesus Christ. I want to read in John now, first chapter of St. John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as would receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of men, will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. As many as receive him have the ability, have the resources to enter in to the great will of God, to the plan of God, to the way that God has in mind. In all of his grandeur, all of his perfection, there is no imperfection at all. Born of blood, we're all imperfect. Born of man, our process of thought is totally different even as we communicate amongst one another. But there is a perfect communication in the will of God. Jesus is the access. Jesus is the process. Jesus is the one that nailed his natural mind to the cross, and all that it was thinking, and all that it wanted. The mind is set to survive. The mind is set to please. The mind is set. All of the mindset of Christ was nailed on the old rugged cross, that man, any man, as many as would receive him, he could give them the power to bring their own thoughts into subjection, to bring their own mind to an understanding place, be able to receive the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. All the glory of surrendering to the will of God. I need the mind of God to surrender to his will. God, you must reveal where I should go, what I should say, how I should behave. Prayer is the key. Unlocks the door. Don't neglect your prayer life. Don't neglect to tarry before God until the answer comes, until you receive it. In the fourth chapter of St. John, Jesus speaking again, 21st verse. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The beauty, the satisfaction, the glory that is revealed in Christ, in the words of Christ, in the instructions of Christ, the teachings of Christ. Christ came to reveal that spirit. In the 12th chapter of St. John, Jesus gave us the formula of how he did that, of how he made the way, whereby I can be an obedient child, whereby I can know the will of God, whereby I can enter into a relationship through the Holy Spirit. Brother talked in Sunday school about the second work of grace, having a sanctification unto God. All the plan of God is so perfect. Don't draw back at any part of it, but surrender your thoughts. Surrender your mind to the mind of God through Jesus Christ. Because just like the three Hebrew children, just like Daniel in the lion's den, we want to show those people who are not acquainted in thought or spirit with God that there is a reality of our relationship. There is something different. The world is full of Christians. There's a church on every corner. But we want to be the true light, the light of Jesus, the light of every man. How can I accomplish that? The only way that that can come to be is if I'm following Christ as he is and as he was. In the 21st verse of St. John, there were those who came to where Jesus was. It said they came therefore to Philip, which of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You know, the world is so tired of Christianity, so tired of people proclaiming, "I am a Christian. This is the way to go. Come go here, come go there, come do this, come do that." They're still searching. They're still wanting to know, "Sir, sir, we would see Jesus." Where is Jesus revealed? He's revealed in the works of men. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. So as we speak and as we do, we must reveal truth. We must reveal Jesus. We must reveal the Spirit of God. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Philip come and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. "Jesus, there's some guys out here, and they want to see Jesus. They want to see the Son of God." Jesus had done a miracle, and the miracle represented the reputation, and they wanted to see it. They wanted to see it. And Jesus answered, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a quart of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." What this is telling me, that Jesus in his beginning of understanding and wisdom, light in the Holy Spirit being given unto mankind, that we might be faithful in the furnace, that we might be faithful in the lion's den, that we might be faithful at work, that we might be faithful in traffic, that we might be faithful wherever we go, for those that are looking for Jesus would see Jesus in us, would see truth, would see righteousness, would see God. The only way that can be accomplished is the same way that Christ accomplished it. Dying out to ourselves, dying out to my thoughts and my ways, my pleasure and my selfish desires. Except a corn of wheat die, It abides alone. They want to see Jesus. How would Jesus be revealed? Only through the Spirit. God is a Spirit. Jesus is a Spirit. Jesus and God, they live through us and the light shines out for those to see. But that is only accomplished when the little word, Jacob said, I'm but a worm, dies. I die out. Crucify my flesh. Then he went on to explain it, if we have any doubts. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life, this is a big call. This is a calling of holiness. This is a calling of righteousness. This is a calling of having the light, the true light, shine out of our heart that men can see Jesus. They're starving. They hear Jesus everywhere they go. But they're starving to see the real Christ. They're starving to see the real light. They're starving to see God. So many people name the name of Jesus, but they don't die. They don't die out to self. They try to do it my way. It's a fancy song that somebody sang one time at the end of their days, I've done it my way. Lord, help us. We don't want to do it our way. We want to do it God's way. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that keepeth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. He that hateth his life shall keep it where? Into eternal life. Brother Abbott said the other night, he's looking forward to his new body, an eternal body, one that doesn't grow old, one that doesn't suffer the effects of time. Life, eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this trial. Save me from having to go through the fiery furnace. Save me from having to be a godly example in an ungodly world. No. But for this cause came I unto this hour. You know, the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that we have, God is still on his throne. God is still in charge. Don't you think that Satan can overload you, or people can overload you, or people can cause you more problems? When we are dedicated and sanctified to God, he's in charge of everything that touches our life. Every little detail. His eye beholds the sparrow. His eye beholds his children. They are precious in my sight. We are precious in the sight of God. And in that perfection of preciousness unto him, he sees us when we have a little bit of chaff. He sees us when we have a little bit of self. He sees us when we have a little bit of this or that. And he brings us to the fiery furnace. He brings us to trial. He brings us to test. He brings us to the place that we must rely upon God and cry out, Abba, Father, I need your help. I can't make it on my own. And Jesus is right there to help us. Now is my soul troubled. You're going to see many troubling times. What should I say? Save me from this hour? No. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Oh, that people would let Jesus shine out of their life. In the Beatitudes, in closing, we'll read this little lesson, this instruction, this encouragement. What greater way to spend your days than to be blessed of God? This wasn't an offer of money. This wasn't an offer of favor. But it was an offer of being blessed by God Almighty. Blessed, 11th verse, 5 and 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are what? Ye are the light of the world. We would see Jesus. The sinner is saying today, where is Jesus? I've heard a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. My heart and my soul panteth after Jesus. Jesus said he was the light of the world, and he lighted every man. That's the drunkard's son. That's the doper's son. That's those that don't have any education like we have of spiritual things and righteous things. But every man that is born, light. Jesus is that light. And that's why he said there was great reward in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves rewards in this world, but put them over there where your body don't crumble, where moth rust doth not corrupt, where the guy down the street doesn't sneak in your house and steal your stuff. No, it's safe and secure in the great heaven of God. Folks, this is the reality. This is not fairy tale. I'm not telling you something that isn't true this morning. There is a place whereby if we will live this life that Jesus lived, that Jesus gave us the formula for, and not only gave us the formula, but he gave us the grace and the power to do it. We could never do it on our own. Every man is right in his own eyes. You would cut so many corners and do this and do that. As we yield ourselves to the will of God, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see God's good works. No, Jesus said they might see your good works, the things that you do. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, a lot of times we have heard people say, oh, they just want to be good works, good two shoes, get the praise of men. Jesus said they have the reward. But oh, to have the reward of the Father who seeth in secret, who knows when we go in the closet and tarry for those that are in trouble, those that need, those that are all around us with a sincere heart before the Lord. God sees that. God knows it. There's nothing hid from him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. The fulfillment of the plan of God. In 2013, we're not quite there, are we? It'll get here before you know it. 2012, God still has a will and a plan for every man. We are few in number, and we wish we were many more. But don't forget, God sees everyone. And he's calling on you. And he's calling on me to let Jesus shine out of our life. To be an example in our works. To be an example in our speech. In the things that we do. Places we go. The things that we say. And if you have any questions where to draw the lines and all of those things, seek those things from God. He said he would answer you. He said he would guide you. He said he would direct you. Acknowledge me with all of your heart, and I shall direct your path. God is able this morning to increase our love and to increase our experience in the glory of God. I don't want a glory in myself, and I don't want any glory of men or this side of heaven. No, but I do enjoy the glory of the Lord. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. There's nothing like it. I've been on the highway with nobody in the car but me. There's nothing like it. Nothing in this world like the glory of God. We don't always go around on cloud nine. Remember when we used to travel a lot? Sometimes I would be in such a mood that nothing was right. You've been there. But thank God, pray the clouds away, the old timer said. Pray the clouds away. If you have doubts, if you have fears, if you're not sure, prayer. Prayer is the key. The door of heaven is still there. The angels are still there. The guys, all the chariots on the side of the hill are still there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If your vision's blurred this morning, check your heart. Ask God to help you check it. Make sure that Christ is reigning within. As he reigns in our hearts, as we submit to him, he will bring the will of God, and he will bring his light. Let the light of God shine out. In closing, I'm going to ask you to sing a little simple song, This Little Light of Mine. Don't ask me to lead it. That would be terrible.